We've got Gene Bolduc here in the studio, the host of the Weekend Water Cooler, and it is time. For Thing Not a Thing, the game show in which Gene and I take a look at all the things that have people upset on social media this week, and we decide whether they are in fact things or not really things. It's my favorite time of the week.
Although I say that about a lot of things. It's an important pressure release.
Yes.
That's what I think.
Yeah. That's why it's saving the rest of the week,
right?
Because we got all of this build up.
That's
We've gotten upset about a whole bunch of things on social media. Now we're going to
open
the valve and say, okay, you should be upset about this, but not about that.
And you know, and by the way, and some of these things you can be upset about on Monday. They'll keep.
Yeah, they'll keep.
They'll wait until Monday.
Yeah. So having said that, I'm now going to start by saying that there is something that we are not really upset about right now. And the fact that we are not upset about it is, I think, the biggest thing of all this week.
I can't wait to hear what this is.
Which is that on Monday, Donald Trump, our president, starts the week off after a whirlwind of a weekend, which I don't even remember the details of because it was so long ago. All I remember is there were a lot of headlines. He starts the week off by tweeting an all-caps, exclamation-point-laden direct threat at the nation of Iran. And nobody cared. Nobody cared. Everyone looked at that tweet and said, well, that's just Trump.
That's
at it
just
again.
Him.
Every American, everyone in Congress, everyone in the media, this wasn't the headline on, like, it wasn't even the headline in CNN. And let's be honest, CNN.
They would have grabbed it.
At this point, will seize on just about any reason to criticize the president. Wasn't the big thing on Fox News. Iranian leaders didn't really respond to it at all.
You know one of the reasons I think that is? You know what they don't have in Iran?
Twitter. Yeah, but they know. I mean,
I know,
like,
that they know, but I mean, I'm not just
that
saying
that
to be,
true.
Aha, you're stupid, Mr. President, although that's true.
Yeah.
I mean, both things can be true. I'm saying that because the thing about Iran's population right now is that their population is young.
Yeah.
And they're tech savvy, generally.
Mm-hmm.
And the people of Iran, broadly speaking, they want to be building hospitals and universities and a modern life.
Yeah, it's a much more liberal people than the government
exactly.
is.
Exactly. Yeah, so,
definitely.
Of course, you know, our president probably thinks that the Shah of Iran should be restored to power or something because he's really back there somewhere. But my point is that if Twitter were available in Iran, I think that would have generated a whole lot more chatter and activity within Iranian society. But because, you know, this is just him shouting at the rain.
Yeah.
But
the fact that we're all just totally on board with the fact that it is just shouting at the rain is just. I think that more than anything, if you want just like a five second elevator speech summary of the Trump presidency, that's it right there.
Yeah.
The fact that we are now to a point where you've got the leader of the free world shouting in all caps and not so vaguely threatening war with another country.
Right.
And just, that's it. Well, it's Monday, you know.
Well, you know. Probably didn't sleep well last night, or you know, whatever anybody's saying about that.
And I think that says a lot about the state of the country right now. That says a lot about the presidency, and that also is kind of a good reminder that whenever, like, there are 15 things that are going on right now that we are all getting upset about, but many of those things will in fact come to nothing, and we should kind of be aware of that
as
well.
That's a fair point.
Yeah.
I did see, I mean,
we're starting to get that.
To his credit, I did see Bob Corker, I think it was the next morning, who's the chair of foreign relations, and a retiring Republican senator. I did see him, I think, on TV the next morning, and I think that a comment that he made was, you know, he looked like he'd seen a ghost when he was talking about this.
Corker?
It was like,
yeah.
He was like, well, you know, this is not helpful. And, you know, he said a lot of word salad about it. But what I took away from that was how he looked. I mean, he did not look good. It's like I saw Mitch McConnell after he received a briefing about Russian hacking, the actual classified briefing. He couldn't say anything about what he had heard. But he sure didn't come out and say, man, the president's right. What a witch hunt. No, he didn't say that. He said, well, you know, the main point that he made was that he felt strongly that Mueller needed to complete his investigation. That told me a lot. And I think these guys, especially the guys who have been around a long time, have a way of conveying their feelings without using the words.
Yeah.
Saying, well, you know, saying some of the same things, by the way, that the president says, like, we'll have to see what happens, and, you know, things like that. But that, you know, the reporters who cover them every day and talk to them off the record, they're like, oh yeah, man, they're worried about this. And, you know, I know what it was that Corker said. I think the dam is about to break. I think the dam is breaking. And he was talking about, you know, you can't
believe... Was he referring to a particular dam?
You can't believe
or?
This is only a week and a half ago. He was talking about the Helsinki comments.
Oh.
And about the Republican response to all of that.
Oh, yeah. I remember learning about that in history class.
Yeah. Yeah, good times, you know. Wow, that's so true. That's so true. I don't wonder that the Senate was going to take their August recess as they usually do, and Mitch called off summer vacation. Everybody hates him for that because, you know, they all wanted to go home and go swimming, I guess. So they're going to break for only a week, and then they're going to come back the second week of August and work straight through to Thursday or whatever they, you know, whatever their schedule is. And he's nobody's favorite, but you know, I think he's trying to get through as many judicial appointments to get
them
confirmed as possible. And I think that's because he's not going to be the Senate leader much longer.
Or at least he strongly is worried about it.
Yeah,
right? I mean,
he
it's still
going to
be a very, very difficult Senate map for the Democrats. Even in a wave year, there's not that many seats that the Democrats could pick up, even if they win all the close ones. So it's going to end up being close. But yeah, there's definitely that chance.
But I mean, you know, it's a close majority now, but they've gotten some stuff done.
Yeah.
I never thought I'd miss John McCain this much.
I did. Like, honestly, I've always liked John McCain. I liked him going back to, like, the late 90s when he was the one who was taking the lead on fighting big tobacco on the Republican side.
Yeah.
I
remember big tobacco. And
yeah,
this,
I remember that.
This,
yeah.
Absolutely impossible to defeat lobby.
This is ancient history, but McCain was my guy in 2000. I wanted it to be him.
You were
president.
On the Straight Talk Express.
I was in 2000.
Yeah.
I was probably
actually on the bus, literally on the bus.
I was in D.C. I was doing a semester internship there.
Oh, I
in
know.
In the middle of that. Yeah. Yeah. That was the year. That was the year when it was cool
to get on a bus with John McCain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And not you
Straight
wouldn't get
Talk
run
Express.
Over or anything. Yeah. Well, you know, that was a brilliant strategy on his part.
Yeah.
You know, because look at the difference between the bus being on the bus with John McCain and being on the bus with Donald Trump, and with cameras rolling. Look at the difference in the audio alone.
Yeah. Okay, so Iran is mine. What's yours?
Iran is yours. Mine. Oh, geez. I only get to pick one thing, right?
A few minutes if we wrap the first one up pretty quick.
Yeah. The thing that is a thing and is going to and I'm going to put on the record that it's going to prove to be completely true, is Michael Cohen's the reporting that Michael Cohen is going to tell the special counsel that he knows that Trump knew about this meeting with the Russians in advance and approved it. I think all that's going to be proved out. I think that that means that Don Jr. lied to Congress, which is felony. I think Don Jr. is going to be indicted. I've thought that for a long, long time for that and for other things. I think that that means, I think that that is absolutely, when proven, you know, that is collusion. That is conspiracy. That means that our sitting president is smack in the middle of a conspiracy to work with a foreign nation to hack the election, to injure his opponent, to interfere with our democratic process, and that he is a Russian asset. I mean, I think it's pretty clear right now that he is. You can't pick anything that he's doing in the area of foreign policy that isn't beneficial to Russia.
Mm-hmm.
What would it be?
That's a good question.
I mean, I literally can't think of anything that he's done that's been hostile to Russia.
Yeah. But so, he's been tougher on Russia than any other president in American history. Didn't you see the tweet?
Right. Didn't you see the tweet?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, those tweets, isn't that like the guy who rushes into your office right after sending it and says, "Did you get my email?"
Yeah. I did that earlier today with Nikki Morris.
Did you really? I did.
No, well, she came in here while I was prepping for the show, and I said, "Did you get my email?" Which is just an awful thing to say.
Because
you know she did.
No.
I know she did.
Yeah, but what you meant was, did you read my email?
She was very polite, like, "Yes, I got the email. Stop asking
I'm not dropping any names, I promise."
That was
but
my
I,
bad. That
I
was
worked
my
with
bad.
A guy who once presented himself in the door of my office and said, I'm typing, send.
Uh-huh.
And 5 minutes later, and he works right around the, you know, within 25 feet of my office door, mm-hmm. is his. And he appears in the door of my office and says, I'm not kidding about this. I just got your email. What does it say? Now, I'll just ask you, without telling you yet what I said, what would you say if someone said that to you?
What I would say is literally just said, which is to crack up laughing.
And then would actual words come from your mouth?
I hope I wouldn't have to.
Well, this is a person who I found myself occasionally in some conflict with at work. I will just leave it at that.
This is my surprised face.
Yes, another surprised face, yeah. And what I said was, "I'm not your mommy. Go back and read it."
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
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 Did he, though?
Well, he left my office.
Okay.
And I didn't get fired.
Mission accomplished.
Right. I mean, I know there were some large words in there, you know.
Yeah.
But if you needed help with that, I'm happy to help.
There you go.
There you go. I mean, I'm a communications professional. I'll do this kind of thing. And just so you know, I still do work for this organization, so, you know.
Double mission accomplished.
That's a very important reason for my not mentioning who or where this was.
Who's on the water cooler this weekend?
Who's on the water cooler this weekend? Well, we found this guy. He's an American government expert.
Ooh.
His name is, let me look it up.
Check the notes.
It's it's A. Ron Keck.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
I like that.
I think
I also like your Foley work on picking up a piece of paper and crinkling it in front of the microphone.
My sound effect work. Yeah, it's you, of course, and we're having I thought we had a wonderful, detailed, serious, sometimes conversation about impeachment and how it works and what the law provides and what it doesn't and how this might all play out. And, you know, the American government is a pretty amazing set of ideas. And I hope it's going to hold up okay during this current strain.
I was going to say, we had to be a little bit vague in the conversation because who even knows what was going to happen between the time we recorded it and Sunday at 1.
And we have to allow time for it to be translated into Russian.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Sunday at 1, Sunday at 8, Saturday morning at 4 a.m.
Saturday morning at 4 a.m. if you're just leaving the hospital for, you know, at the end of your shift.
End of your shift,
And if you are, by the way, bless your heart for working there. Thank you.
Gene Boldick is the host of the Weekend Water Cooler. Thank you so much.
Thank you.